Boomer and Carton on the Fan.
Yeah.
Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
La, la, la. 603. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton on the Fan. And, of course, worldwide on MSG. As we broadcast live and local from the Allstate Insurance Studios, you're in good hands. It's time to get over it. It's a day that you knew was coming for the last 3 months. Darrell Revis is no longer a Jet. And yet you Jet fans, and I'm one of you, are acting like a bunch of five-year-olds crying and whining. We didn't get enough. We didn't get enough. Hey, your boy John Idzik came out and said, I ain't trading him unless you give me your first-round draft pick this year. You know what he got? He got their first-round draft pick this year. So the New York Jets have the 9-13. They'll get a three-round pick next year, and there you go. But for any one of you dopes that thought the Jets were going to be a Super Bowl team with Revis here that's now killing the organization for trading Revis, you got to wake up. You got to wake up. Clearly, they're not going to be a good basketball team, but it's time to wake up. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
All right, Craig. You're doing well. Actually, a great weekend up in Montreal. And then, you know, you come back. The Knicks are winning. The Rangers are winning. The Islanders are winning. The Mets take two out of three from the Nationals. And then, lo and behold, you got the Darrell Revis trade and everything else going on in the world of sports. My thing, we've been saying this since John Idzik took the job, that he has a mess to clean up. And what a mess it really, truly is. And remember, part of the deal for Darrell Revis is a $16 million contract for this season.
Per year.
There's no way. Yeah, but this year he's making $16
yes.
million. There's no way the Jets could have afforded that. And there's no way that the Jets would have wanted a disgruntled Darrell Revis in the locker room. So they had no choice. So Jet fans have got to understand the reality of where their team is right now and who John Idzik is and why he was hired and what his job is. Now, I'm not saying that all these decisions he's going to make are going to be the right decisions, but the fact of the matter is, at least he's making bold decisions.
I mean, look, there's
he
not
has
a,
no choice.
There was not another team out there, as far as we know, that was making any offer to the Jets. So you're negotiating with one other team. Obviously, the goal for the Jets, for whatever reason, was that this year's first round pick was paramount to them because the original offer had next year's first round pick, and the Jets waited and waited and waited, and they got the first round pick. Now, the other pick will be a third-round pick.
If he's on the roster next year.
Which he will be, obviously. And that'll happen next year. So you get a first and a third for your best player who's coming off major knee surgery. And I'm going to cry about that.
I sit here and say who won, who lost, all this other stuff. I think any good deal means that both teams gave a little to get a little. And I think in this case, that can be said, you know, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know you don't really care much about them, only on week one next year when they open up against the Jets at MetLife Stadium, is the fact that, you know, they have a rebuilt secondary down there. They had one of the worst, if not the worst, pass defenses in football. One of the reasons for that is because of the division they play in.
Right.
Where you see you're going to see the Falcons, you're going to see the Saints, you're going to see the Carolina Panthers. And all three have top-flight quarterbacks. All three have top-flight wide receivers. So they needed this in the worst way. So therefore, they're willing to pay the $16 million and forego their number one pick. For the New York Jets, it's all about acquiring as many assets as you possibly can. Nobody says that they're going to use the 9th and the 13th pick on players. They could trade those picks to create even more picks and more opportunities. Because I keep telling you guys, remember where John Idzik came from. He came from Seattle. When Pete Carroll got there and John Schneider got there, the GM out there, what do? They turned and burned their entire roster. They kept the transaction thing was going 100
like a couple
miles an
hundred.
Hour. Yes, it was crazy. Now, sure enough, they were lucky enough. They found Russell Wilson,
right?
And he was the missing piece. He was the guy that actually took this team to another level. And the only way you're going to have that happen is if you have a lot of draft picks, and maybe you find that diamond in the rough, and maybe that's where the Jets, you know, future lies. I can't imagine unless Geno Smith is there. That they're going to go after a quarterback. I think that they're going to try to maybe trade one of these picks, package these picks, maybe go up and get somebody that they really look are looking forward. Maybe it's another wide receiver. Maybe it's an offensive lineman. Maybe it's a defensive tackle. All three are neat areas.
Right.
For the New York Jets.
I don't know.
And I think Itzig is doing what he's supposed to be doing.
I might tell you that today's a great day for the Jets. No, it's not a great day. But, it's not as if this came out of left field and the New York Jets are right there on the precipice of winning a title and all of a sudden they trade their best player. This isn't like Oklahoma City in basketball getting rid of James Harden in the same conference, right?
Right.
This is a guy that was not going to re-sign a contract here. A guy who's been a pain in the ass contractually since he did get here. A guy that you've won nothing with. A guy that's not going to make you good enough to win anyway. And you went out there and you traded him. Now, were there 10 teams eager to trade for Darrell Revis? No. I'm not telling you it's a good day. But if you're upset about this, you have to stop.
You're not being realistic,
right? You look at the big picture. They had a guy that they could not sign during the year or after the year,
and
because he wanted $16 million a year.
Bottom line, you can't have two cornerbacks making the money that Cromartie and Revis are making now.
Right.
When you look at how much Revis is making and how much Cromartie is making, and you combine those. You just can't do it in today's salary cap world, especially when you have a quarterback that is counting over $8 million to your salary cap.
I'll do one better. So. I can't believe that the New York Jets were able to get this year's first-round pick, so they have the 9th and the 13th now, for a guy that winds up signing a non-guaranteed contract coming off a major knee surgery. You could spin this as what a great job Itzig did by holding on and not taking the first offer made to him, because they wanted the 13th pick. That was the deal. The third round pick's nice to have because it should be another ball player.
Right.
They wanted the 13th pick in this draft. Now either they covet a certain guy or, like you said, they're going to package picks and get more picks. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
But I'll say this. For a guy that we know very little about, because he's only been the Jet GM for a couple months now, right? He has clearly come in here with a plan and he has carried that plan out.
And he still has a lot of work to do. He's got work to do. I personally think that this puts, I could read all the articles today, and, it's gloom and doom for Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan's defense played pretty good last year without Darrell Revis.
Right.
And Cromartie deserves a lot of credit because he was their shutdown corner. They would have played a lot better had the offense given them anything, as opposed to turning the ball over and turning those turnovers into touchdowns and putting the defense in bad field position. There's no telling how much better the defense may have been. I know one thing. Rex will have a good defense. I'm not saying it's going to be a great defense. I'm not saying it's going to be a top five defense, but I know it's going to be an upper echelon defense in a sense that it will be a top 10 defense. I believe that because he'll do it. He'll create that.
Right.
Now, as far as their offense is concerned, it's a whole nother set of circumstances. It's a new system. It's a third offensive system in 3 years for Mark Sanchez, which, quite frankly, does not lend itself, in my estimation, no matter how good Marty Morningwood may be as a coach, does not lend itself for a winning environment for a quarterback to kind of flourish in. So that again, still is going to be the issue moving forward.
They're not going to be a good football team, and they went out there and they got a first-round pick and a third-round pick. So all in all, It's not a bad day for the New York Jets. You're a Jet fan, you want in on it? Let's go right now. 877-337-6666. Now, before we get to the other stuff, I want to remind you, starting today and every day for 5 weeks, between 6:15 and 6:30 in the morning, we are celebrating our move to the FM dial, still on AM 660, of course, but we're also on 101.9 FM with free money, because FM now stands for free money.
Yeah.
So every day, between 6:15 and 6:30, Boomer and I are going to announce that day's free money amount, all right? We're also going to tell you the two times later in the day when you can win the money. Got it? So this morning, between 6:15 and 6:30, you just got to listen. We are going to tell you the amount, and we'll tell you when we're going to give that amount away. And we'll do that every morning between 6:15 and 6:30.
That's good news. Now, here's the other thing about the Seattle Seahawks and where Itzig came from. Pete Carroll got there. They had back-to-back years, 7-9. As a matter of fact, that first year that they were 7-9, that NFC West was so bad that they won the division and they lost to the Bears in a game that was actually played in their building with
right.
a losing record in
right.
the playoffs. So, Pete got a little bit of a break there by being in that bad division. They won it with a 7-9 record. The next year, they were 7-9 again. They were third in the NFC West. And then, of course, last year they were 11-5 and went all the way to the playoffs, and they lost to Atlanta on the road, and they were second in their division. But, you know, that division, when you look back over the last 2 years, how bad San Francisco was, how bad Seattle was, how bad Arizona was, and how bad St. Louis was.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you look where those teams are now. I'm not so sure where Arizona fits into all of this right now, but St. Louis has gotten better with Jeff Fisher. So it takes time, NFL fans. It just you got to have a guy that's going to be making the right decisions. He's going to be pushing the right buttons. And sometimes those decisions are going to be hard. And I know for all those Jet fans out there that, like Rex Ryan, recognizes Darrelle Revis, when healthy, is one of the best, if not the best, cornerback in football.
Right.
They could not pay him the $16 million that he's going to make this year from Tampa Bay. And if they didn't pay him, what do you have in your hands?
Nothing. Ugats.
Because
he would have left. You would have got nothing in return.
Yeah, but what you have is you have a disgruntled player.
Oh, well, he would have been miserable because they're not going to win games anyway. Then you have a guy that's pissed off about his contract. He would have been miserable here. Listen, he's good. Goodbye. Gone. See you later. Now you just got to hope that Mark Sanchez's first touchdown pass isn't thrown to Darrelle Revis when the New York Jets open the season against Tampa.
Yeah, the other thing here, too, is that what are the residual effects of this or the collateral effects of this? You know, to me, if you're a player for the New York Jets right now, it's got to be a dagger because you're losing what you believe is one of the best players in football, whether it be because of economics, whether because of other contractual situations on your team, or because you have a new GM recognizing that this is in the year that they're going to go to the Super Bowl. Okay, all of those things wrapped into one. For the guys that are coming back, it's a tough thing. It's a tough sell. And Rex is going to have to do the best coaching job he's ever done because this sends a signal to those guys in that locker room that we're not going to the Super Bowl. So that's a whole nother set of circumstances.
Well, if you're a Jet fan, Jet player that thought you were going to the Super Bowl, I'm having you drug tested immediately.
But here's the deal. Every player thinks that their team is going to win in every game. I'm telling you, even when I played on some really, really bad teams,
right,
you still, because you're an athlete and because you think you can go out there and get it done, you're going to win. As ridiculous as that sounds, every player thinks they're going to win. You know, when Ilya Kovalchuk steps on the ice yesterday against the New York Rangers with a bad shoulder, he's out there trying to win a game. He thinks his presence is going to help them beat their hated rivals in their building.
Not 35 seconds in, he didn't.
After 35 seconds in. That's because they played the day before.
All right.
But you understand what I'm saying.
I know what you mean. The mentality is going to be we're going to win today. And if that's not the mentality, you shouldn't be on the
field. When you go play basketball on Wednesday nights at Chelsea Piers, and now you've got Bernard King coaching your team.
That's right.
Don't you think you're going to win every time you step on the
court? Well, I mean,
I'm
the starting point guard, so yes. I mean, clearly, but that's all about me.
All right.
I feel like I'll be good enough to spread the ball around in the right positions where we'll have a good chance to win.
Speaking of spreading the ball around, how about the Knicks? Can they spread the ball around a little bit more, maybe?
Yeah, well, listen, Knicks, we'll get to the Knicks. Obviously, the big win Saturday afternoon at the Garden. Nice to get off to a 1-0 lead. Tough game, though. But give the Knicks credit for all the nonsense about the Knicks, that if they don't shoot well from three, they can't win. Well, you know what? They didn't shoot well from three, but locked down defensively.
Hey, dude, thank
25
God.
Second half points, Boomer. Yep. That's almost an NBA record.
That is a lockdown.
Give him a lot of credit for that.
No question. And defense first. That's I'll always support that. Here's the thing, though. Two guys in particular that all of a sudden showed their mettle. And one of those guys is Jason Kidd at the age of 40, diving all over the place.
Played his ass off.
Love the way he played. And number two, Kenya Martin looked like he had springs in his sneakers. Literally looked like he had springs in his sneakers.
Yep, played great.
I mean, so you have two guys that basically, in my estimation, were the difference. Carmelo shot way too much again. But you know what? They played defense. He got rebounds. Kenyon Martin was great. You know,
Jason Kidd, I mean, obviously Carmelo having 36 is what he was. But in the key moments, Jason Kidd won the game.
Yeah, yeah. He was a pussy. He controlled the ball. He relaxed everybody. And that's why you have a 40-year-old guy with the unbelievable experience that he has. Prigioni may be back tomorrow night.
That's what they're saying. He may also retire today. You never know what the next.
Right, you never know. But it was, I would tell you that the last 5 minutes of that game was all-time Knick basketball.
Yes, because it was all about defense. The Garden crowd was pumping, and you get the kid steal, the Carmelo steal, the Carmelo layup, game over, and we take game one. The only thing I hate about this series is how they're dragging this out. I mean, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday.
But you got to remember,
let's play some basketball. Come on!
But both teams play in buildings where they're sharing the building with hockey teams.
Enough.
You know that.
It's garbage.
What do you mean garbage?
It's garbage is what it is.
And hopefully both, well, listen, the Bruins are already in the playoffs, and hopefully the Rangers are going to join them.
Boomer and Carton on the Fan. We'll do all the Knicks stuff from Saturday. Obviously, baseball over the weekend. Good job by the Mets taking 2 out of 3 from the Nationals. And even though the Yankees blew a 2-run lead yesterday, Boom, they take 2 out of 3 from Toronto. And that, what do we always talk about here? Win series. Right?
That's what I always say.
Well, they both won series.
I know. When I'm outside talking baseball and stuff like that, I always talk about, you know, win series.
Win series, yes.
Just win the series. Don't get crazy and not win the series.
And don't forget, between now and 6:30, you'll find out what today's dollar amount is as me and Boomer and the Fan give away $50,000.
Shut up.
Over the next
five weeks. Really?
That's right. That's right. By the way, you missed a lot of fun on Friday.
I paid attention to what was going on.
You missed a lot of fun.
I listened to you guys online.
Now you were up in Montreal listening?
Thank you to Michelle. She's unbelievable. She's great. She's so likable.
Yes.
You know, and she really brings a touch of class to the show.
But what are you saying?
Just brings a touch of class to the show.
You're saying that the show needed a touch of class with you not being here?
Needs more than a touch.
Yeah, well, she brought that. All right.
She did. All right.
All right. Your boy Bernard King came by.
Yeah, he was
Carmelo Anthony came by.
I mean,
Brooke Lopez came by.
Yeah, they all came by.
Everybody coming by.
They all came by at the same time, too.
Everybody coming by to hang out with Boomer and Carton.
And you know why?
Yes. Because they knew that they'd have a good time hanging out with BNC.
Carmelo needs to call in when he's supposed to call in.
Separate issue.
Man doesn't call in when he's supposed to call in. You know what I say?
Don't put him on.
Don't put him on?
Yeah.
I don't care who he is.
No, no, you care who he is.
Unless, of course, he's the President of the United States and he's dealing with some issue that is far beyond our scope.
Here's Joe in Brooklyn on the Fan. Joe, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up,
Joe?
Frank?
What's happening, brother?
Nothing. It's just I know what you guys are saying about this Revis trade, and I know I get the compensation, but I think what most Jets fans are angry about is that this franchise, there is still no idea where they're headed. It's Mark Sanchez is still on this roster. Tim Tebow is still on this roster. This is the second rebuilding effort on this team in less than 5 years. And this is New York City paying New York prices.
Yeah.
We have no idea where this franchise is headed. We're a laughingstock. We're a punchline. And I'll tell you right now, man, it's just Leon Hess is turning in his grave because Woody Johnson is...
Hey, Joe, let me stop you for 1 second. With all due respect to Leon Hess, what did they do with Leon Hess's owner?
I understand, but you
don't... So what do you mean Leon Hess is thrown over in his grave? What did he win?
At least Leon Hess, at least the team Hess, the franchise...
Okay, let me ask you a question. How many championship games did the Jets go to with Leon Hess's owner?
You know what, Craig, that's a fair point. It really is, but at least they weren't they weren't a circus.
Really? Yeah, we were. Yeah, we were.
You had Rich Kotite here as the head coach. What are you talking about?
I lived through 3 years of it.
1 year with Kotite.
2.
This guy Rex Ryan is a clown. He's a certified clown.
Oh, my God. Listen, Joe, I understand why you're upset right now. I understand it 100%.
It's comical.
Rex Ryan took your team to the AFC Championship game twice, and I don't care how you think they got there, whether or not the Indianapolis Colts laid down or this team wasn't ready to play. Your team got there, and your team played their asses off in both of those AFC Championship games with the exception of the first quarter of the game against Pittsburgh. But you know what? They came back. They made it a game in the second half.
First and goal from the 2.
And you forget, you know, they're on the road playing against freaking Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
It's not like they're on the road playing against Temple University or Rutgers or something like that.
Right.
I mean, so we all forget about those first 2 years that Rex Ryan and Mike Tannenbaum actually got to the AFC Championship game. Like, it never happened. And now all of a sudden, you have a general manager that has got to come in here and clean up the mess that was left behind by Mike Tannenbaum, which includes Tebow, which includes the Darrelle Revis contract situation, which also includes the inability to move Mark Sanchez.
Right.
So I don't know what you want this GM to do. He's trying to do what he believes is in his right mind to rebuild his team. And that's why I said, look at Seattle. 7-9, 7-9. Okay, we're gonna jump ship. Now Seattle will be one of the prohibitive favorites to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Bottom line is this. Yes, the Jets became a laughingstock. I agree. The Jets were a circus last year. I agree. But remember this. With Rex Ryan as the head coach of the New York Jets, and I'm not happy with him either, they've had one losing season. One. They've gone to 2 AFC Championship games and had a single losing season. So let's not pretend like the last 4 years of Jet football haven't brought us more success than any four-year period in the history of the franchise.
Right. You know, and I know that sometimes
I'm pissed too. I know that when
sometimes Rex talks, people scratch their head. Like, you know, he's talking about how he's going to be the best here. He's going to be the best there. I'm sticking with this guy. You know why? Sometimes head coaches like Rex Ryan, you know, say things for effect.
Right.
And they recognize how many people are watching and listening, and they also know. And he also knows what's paramount to his personal success as a coach is his, I don't want to say popularity, it's a wrong word to use, but respect and credibility within the locker room with his players.
Right.
And you can't sit here and tell me that Darrell Revis does not love Rex Ryan.
Boom.
You can't sit here and tell me that Antonio Cromartie does not love Rex Ryan.